This is the 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Lots to get to this hour. Pinder Report at 22 will have all the news of the day, including a closer look at those five games last night. Busy slate tonight, but we will kick off the 9 with our Thursday morning regular, Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kev, how are you, sir?
I'm recovering, buddy. I'm recovering. That was it was entertaining, I'm sure, for the fans to watch that last night. From a guy who hasn't covered a game on deadline in 10 months, she's a little bit hectic.
Yes,
okay. A little bit hectic.
So for clarity, we know you as our goalie guru that checks in once a week, but you are the Vancouver Canucks beat reporter for NHL.com on top of your in-goal magazine duties. There would have been, a few rewrites down the stretch there with the wild twists and turns that game took.
Well, and it wasn't, I mean, not to lowest me on deadlines. People are like, this guy gets paid to watch hockey, should shut the hell up. But it wasn't just the twists and turns, it's that each had a plot line that, you know, could have been worthy of a lead, right?
So sure.
Especially with the Foley and, you know, I mean, looking forward, the Canucks lost two defensemen last night. Alex Edgerly leaves in the second period. Travis Hamonic leaves in the third. Neither return, no updates. These two teams meet again tonight. You've got goals everywhere. You've got the free agent that the Canucks basically ignored in free agency, despite spending big assets to acquire at the trade deadline last year, despite a ton of success in their top six. They basically ignored him. He signs in Montreal. They choose to basically spend the money elsewhere, say retaining Jake Bertan in part of it. And he comes in and scores his first three goals as a Montreal Canadian against his old team, like a take that moment. Yeah, there was no shortage. Power play for the Canucks, 0-15 going in. They popped three on six chances. Lots and lots of storylines, lots and lots of angles. And for Canucks fans, a bit of good news because it was looking pretty ugly there for the three previous.
Well, and that late goal felt like that was going to be it. Like, geez, you get all that offense, you get the power play woes in the rearview mirror, but then, yikes, look out, you're staring at a loss. And then Besser's second of the night ties it up very late. I shouldn't say very late, with about 3 minutes and 9 seconds left, a quick response. Toffoli would have been the story, but now it's Besser at a pair and Horvat with the shootout winner plus 3 points in regulation. The defense has got to be troubling too. That's not an area of great depth for this club to begin with. And
gone? Yeah, that's the takeaway is this team's inability to defend. And it ties to the guy stopping pucks in your market now. We've said this for a couple of years, that defensively this is a bottom 10, bottom 5 for long stretches team. And they were bailed out by Vezina caliber goaltending. And so if you rely, you can have a good goalie. It's okay to have a Jacob Markstrom playing like a guy who should have been a Vezina finalist last year. You're going to hear me say that a lot, by the way, because he really should have been. But relying on it is counting on it. That's tough. And this is a team that defensively has counted on it. They went into the playoff bubble, and they were better. They made some adjustments in their system. They got buy-in, and everybody always likes to point to personnel on the back end, and that's a big part of it. But a lot of it is what you get out of a five-man unit. Are the forwards coming back? Are they in the right spot? Are they helping out their defense? It's not just the two guys who have a D in front of their names. And they got that in the playoff bubble. And the thought was, okay, well, maybe Travis Green can get their defensive attention for the season. Well, whether it's the fact that they have three new pairings, because it really has been that much turnover, Schmidt was playing with Edler, although they changed that last night. Hamonic with Hughes, Hamonic replacing Tanev. And Ole Olevi for the first four games, although he was a healthy scratch last night, and Jalen Chatfield made his NHL debut. That's a lot of turnover on the back end, and they are bleeding goals. Goaltending hasn't even been that bad. Goaltending's been as expected, basically. If you look at the statistically, they've gotten the saves they need. What Markstrom used to give you was the saves you couldn't expect from anyone on top of that. You saw that in the game against Vancouver the other night.
Yep.
Momentum changers in the first period that allowed his team to find its feet. He's really good at that. It was a calling card here in Vancouver. They're not quite getting that big momentum-changing save right now. They're getting the saves they should expect, and they're giving up chances that you just can't expect your goalie to stop, and on a lot of them, these guys aren't. So there's a lot of you know, they got a big win last night, but there's still a lot of questions here in Vancouver about what this is going to like look like moving forward defensively. Can they fix it defensively? Because it's not just that they gave up all those goals last night, Ryan. Like, they had four leads in that game.
That's
like,
right.
Yes,
yeah.
They came back late, but only after blowing four different leads. And this is just guesswork, because believe me, I was happy to have an NHL.com hat on last night and not Aim Goal Magazine. But I'm pretty sure, because as a goalie guy, that was not pretty. But I'm pretty sure Carey Price isn't giving up five anytime soon.
No kidding. And so what do we know about the nature of the injuries to Hamonic and Edler? It looked like Hamonic stayed on the bench while Edler left. I mean, is there a thought that both are gone tonight? Is there any confirmation of what lies ahead?
There's no confirmation, no indications, and it's tough. They've canceled their morning skate this morning. No media availability to four. And because you don't, it's going to be, I'll be honest, I was just trying to figure this out with my bosses at NHL. Like, it's hard to even have educated guesswork because the roster moves don't have to be submitted till 2 o'clock, right? So we don't know. Sure. And there are, you know, if they bring someone like a Brogan Rafferty up off of the taxi squad to play, they're going to have to put somebody on injured reserve. And now you're missing, whether it's Edler or Hamonic, for at least a week. Mm-hmm. So tough decisions there, because your alternatives are you bring in Olli Juolevi, who was a healthy scratch last night, and that's fine. He played the first four games, mixed reviews, but mostly steady and in very, very limited sort of very carefully planned minutes against low-end competition. But your other option is Jordy Benn for a second defenseman, and he had his first practice yesterday with the team of the entire season because he was in COVID protocol. So we won't know until later today. But I get if it's kind of one of those things. I was going to say the bigger question is if it's long term, especially for Edler, because of what he means to a penalty kill. That, you know, again last night they only gave up one power play and the Habs converted it. So that PK is, again, another trouble spot for the Vancouver Canucks. If they're missing Edler for any, and they missed Tanev, but if they're missing Edler for any stretch of time, it's going to be in trouble as well. So short-term and long-term, there are more questions than answers when it comes to the Canucks' back end right now.
One more on the team, and then we'll get a little more goalie-focused. I have been a Jim Benning detractor. I think that there's been incredible cap mismanagement. I think it's an incredibly expensive bottom half of the roster that really isn't much better than replacement level, if that at all. And I think that that bad GMing in terms of the cap led them into not being able to retain Toffoli, not being able to keep Markstrom, although there certainly was a big bullet to dodge with the expansion draft, and there's other factors there. But I really don't like how he's managed the cap and how much money he's given to really average players. Next year, they need new deals for Quinn Hughes and for Elias Pettersson. Pre-COVID, those might have been $10 million players on long-term deals, and maybe they get them on bridges now. But, like, how much trouble is there brewing? I know there's some deals coming up, but, like, it's not like $6 million on Edler isn't money that they're going to have to spend to replace Edler anyway.
Yeah, and that's the big question. And, listen, there are people here that will back Jim Benning. There have been some nice moves. I'm with you. I'm sorry. It's hard to ignore the cap issues because of the bottom end of the roster. And I think that anybody that does gloss them over, hey, give credit for the good, for the hits. Give credit for the draft picks. Give credit for, you know, hey, I was one of the ones that was critical of giving up a first-round pick for JT Miller. JT Miller is absolutely straw that stirs the drink with the top six here. And he's been a big part of this team both in the room and on the ice. So I'll eat crow on that one. But when you have a bottom six with where Brandon Sutter's making, you know, pretty much the same money it would have cost you to retain Tyler Toffoli, when you've got Louis Erickson making $6 million and not even on the roster, when you've got, and it's not just, it's all the ones that compound around that. Like Antoine Roussel, and yes, he had an ACL injury that slowed him down. Like, he's, you know, he's struggling to be an effective fourth liner, and he's on a big ticket. So Jay Beagle, similar question. Like, it's not just that you paid for, and they were all of them played roles in their playoff run, but all of them are overpaid. And anybody that argues otherwise, it's sort of like a version of Trumpism. There's just this blind spot for can do no wrong. This roster construction has problems, and they are coming home to roost already this season. This is a year where you've got Hughes and Pettersson on entry levels. You've got the pandemic driving prices down. This should have been a go for it year.
Yeah, totally.
This should have been a go for it year where you could round out the roster with bargains on the bottom six and really effective bargains that had to take those contracts because of the pandemic. And instead, you've got more money being spent on the bottom end of a roster that's not competing right now. So it is a problem. There's not much they can do about it, unfortunately, right now. And you're right. There could be more problems next season, despite some of that money, like Sutter, coming off the books completely.
Okay, let's get to the goaltending side of things. Are you expecting to see Thatcher Demko tonight for the Canucks? And
yeah, for sure. They'll continue to alternate, and I would expect Jake Allen to go for the other end.
Okay. Yeah.
That might be one where you do wonder, like, do you give Carey Price a chance to bounce back? He's Carey Price. But it's 3-4 on the road, and that's, to me, where the back-to-back thing comes in. It's not so much consecutive games, and I said this about Mikko Koskinen, because when Mike Smith got hurt, they had to play Mikko Koskinen back-to-back against the Canucks in their opening series. And he played well in the second game. They played better defensively, and he played well in the second game. And I was like, see, back-to-backs aren't a problem. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Back-to-backs aren't a problem. Watch what he looks like two nights from now in the third game in four nights. It's recovering from the back-to-backs, especially as goalie ages, where you see an effect on their play, to me. And part of this is borne out from a conversation I had with Luongo towards the end of his career, where the last 5 years, unless it was an emergency, like they had to make the playoffs with a win kind of thing, he was sitting out the second end of back-to-back because he told me it took him a week to recover. Now, he was up into his late 30s at that point, but my point is, in a condensed season, why add that recovery time to either guy? So I would expect it to be Jake Allen. This is why you got him, and then you come back with Carey Price on an afternoon game on Saturday.
It's a great point. I agree with you. Like, people talk about back-to-backs like that's the hard work, and it's not easy, but travels less than it's been in years past, and the schedule's condensed, but not dramatically. And traditionally, it's always been that 3rd and 4, 4 and 6, where teams really fall flat. Never mind if you're asking a goalie to do all that stuff.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting. I'm going to be curious to see how Jason LaBarbera and Jordan Sigalette handle Markstrom, because if you look at his track record here in Vancouver, they played him on both ends of back to backs a lot. I don't have in front of me the numbers. I'm about to say a lot, but it seems like it happened more than it was happening anywhere else around the league. It wasn't all that uncommon, especially if they had injuries or ineffectiveness behind him. Like if Anders Nilsson was going through one of his struggles 2 years ago, or Demko was missing some time last year, they wouldn't hesitate to play Markstrom back-to-back, and he was really good in the second end of back-to-back. Where you start to wonder is, you know, there's also been an injury history there. So does overplaying him for stretches lead to wear and tear that maybe makes him more susceptible to that? I'm not saying I have the answer, but in a year where there is more pressure on the goaltenders physically and mentally from the drain of a pretty condensed season, I just think if you've got a second option, you use it. And, you know, especially for your team that has visions of making noise in the playoffs, because you want your guy to be fresh when it matters. Price is the perfect example of that. He played some of his best goal in the bubble after all that time off, and look nothing like the guy who normally sort of is dragging by the end of a regular season.
As for the Flames, they've got a 5-day break, which feels criminal in this tight schedule to have five days without a game. Never mind if you did, it would be at the end of the season and you'd have some runway to put in games that were missed. Not the case, so I don't think they'll have any trouble going back to Markstrom for one of the next two against
Good, good news,
Leafs.
Though. Good news.
Tell me. Yeah.
Chance to break in all that sick gear, Jacob Markstrom.
That's okay. So, all right. Goalie guys are usually gearhead guys. The reverse retro setup. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, wait till you see what David Rittich has is coming. And I'm going to have to leave it at that, because I may have seen a sneak peek but been sworn to secrecy by the equipment company. let's just say your reverse retro fans are going to be loving what David Rittich has coming. It should be there soon, too.
Well, and Markstrom was in the gear yesterday.
We geeked out.
Photos came.
What's that?
Markstrom, yesterday at practice, there's photos of him in the gear. It looks...
Yeah.
I like that color scheme. I never loved the logo. I always thought it could be more than it was, but the color scheme is... You don't have to sell me on that. I like that.
Well, there's a story here, though, on Jacob Markstrom breaking out that gear. This isn't just the goalie geek in me going, wow, like, look at that. What a sharp setup with the dark base black with yellow and red trim. This is the goalie scientist in me going, look at that. He would not have been. A lot of people said that looked like Canucks colors, Ryan. Wouldn't have been allowed to wear that setup in Vancouver. would not have been allowed. No dark edges. That's the rule of the Vancouver Canucks goalie coach, and everyone rolls their eyes at it, but there are a few around the league that have it. The theory is dark edges provide a distinct sort of framing and outline of where the goalie is, and where, more importantly, where the goalie isn't and the net is open. White edges provide more ambiguity in front of the netting behind a goaltender. And in the split second, a player has to make a decision. Goalie coach like Ian Clark here in Vancouver insists that his guys maintain that ambiguity in terms of that split second. Where does the goalie gear end? Where does the net open? And so he has a rule about no dark edges on the outer roll. And I did think it was interesting that as soon as Markstrom was away from him, there's an all dark set there in Calgary, because I know a lot of goalies think it's hogwash, but there is a rule here in place. I'll give you another one. Thatcher Demko for the Canucks retros last year, when they wore the skate downhill Getty plate dark jerseys, Demko had in his mind a Kirk McLean tribute set that would have absolutely killed. But it was nixed because it contained a whole bunch of dark edges.
So we're talking about an optical illusion here. Are you a buyer or a seller on this, or are you just going to play the middle like you have so far?
I like to sit on the fence when it comes to criticizing goalie coaches who yes. are okay. amongst the best in the league. You know, I've heard both sides of it. It's Carey Price in all red gear right now. You've got Marc-Andre Fleury early in his career was a big part of this conversation. Remember, he had the bright yellow pads, and then in a playoff, I think it was 2012, an Ottawa optometrist, someone wrote a story with an Ottawa optometrist saying that yellow is the color the human eye can pick out fastest. In other words, if a player wanted to know where his gear started and ended, he was wearing the worst color possible. And he went away from it for years. He went to white gear, predominantly white. Now he's back in gold in Vegas. So even the trend itself comes and goes. But, you know, not to pick on Ian Clark here in Vancouver, there are a handful of goalie coaches around the league. You know, even I've heard stories of guys not knowing the rule, ordering a dark set, and the equipment manager contacting the goalie coach and having it gonged. So some guys believe in it firmly. I personally, hey, it's beer league. I suck. It doesn't matter what I wear. But at the NHL level, if you think it's even a 1% or half a percentage difference for a shooter finding a spot, I think you probably gotta take it seriously.
It's really not helping the cause of, you know, we used to say goalies are weirdos, and now it's like, oh, maybe they're less weird, more normal. And then you hear stuff like this, like, no, they're still weirdos. Goalies are still weirdos, Kev. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we just don't wear that badge with pride.
Yes. Just own it. Own it and bask in it. You're not born. I love goalies. Maybe that means I'm a weirdo. I don't have more fun and better conversations than with the former goalies around. And we got some gems here. You know, Jeff Glass is now in San Diego. He's a Calgary guy. Barry Bruss, LaBarbera is a good chat. There's some gems around here that played the position.
It requires character to stand in front of a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot.
Indeed. Who have you liked out of the gates? Tough to not love what Semyon Varlamov's done, although I always do wonder. Everywhere Barry Trotz goes, the goalies get better.
Yeah, those things hand in glove, man. You'll hear me say this a lot. Goaltending never exists in a vacuum. It's a product of what's in front of it. Just like the Vancouver Canucks goalies here can't really be blamed when the defense is as porous as it is. There's only so much you can do. And in the case of Trotz and his systems, it's not just that, like, don't take credit away from the goalies. It's just that the work they do systems-wise goes hand-in-hand with the work that his goalie coaches, Mitch Korn was it for years. Now he's his goalie director, and they've got Piero Greco on the ice day-to-day. Like, they go hand-in-hand. The work they do with their goalies is designed to fit the system. I remember having this conversation with Robin Lehner during his 1 year with the Islanders. In terms of managing screens, and all teams do it to an extent, right? Like, there are systems in place for how a team blocks shots and how a goalie handles a screen. If I've got a guy in front of me in the middle of my net and I need to pick whether I look around him on the short side or the far side, that's a big decision for me as a goaltender. On a team like the Islanders, it's made for me because the rule for a lot of teams, though, is generally short side looks. But the Islanders are so good at making sure their players blocking the shot on the outside, challenging, is taking away the middle. That's a rule. They do it. So Robin Lehner's like, yeah, I know I can look short side. because if I get caught looking the short side when the puck is shot back the other way, my defenseman, that's the lane he's blocking shots in. And so just the degree to which they execute that hand in glove, not just that it's good defense makes for good goaltending, but that everyone's on the same page and the goaltender is able to execute his system within the context of the Islander system is huge. And of course, the other big thing, and you look at the goals here in Vancouver last night, how many were, you know, tap-ins off the rush. The Islanders don't give up rush chances. And again, it was Lehner that said this. He was coming from Buffalo. He's like, we would see 3 to 5 odd man rushes in a game in Buffalo. And they're pretty bad that year, so I believe them. He would see 1 odd man rush with the Islanders every 2 games. They don't take chances in the neutral zone. They don't turn over the puck. They don't give odd man rushes. And as any goalie will tell you, Lehner said, I could be playing really well and on my game, but if you give me 4 odd man rushes, there's a good chance, and they convert the passes, there's a good chance one of them, maybe even 2, is still going in, even if I'm playing well. So if I see 4 a game on one team and 1 every 2 games on the other team, guess where my numbers are going to be better?
No question. Environments matter.
The other guy that's impressed me, I was going to say, is Mackenzie Blackwood. Take a look at those numbers early. Forget Corey Crawford leaving, and that may have problems in terms of resting him and waiver claims and Arendelle and Eric Comrie and the merry-go-round there. But there is no question about how Mackenzie Blackwood has played early, and that's why anybody that suggested in the offseason that they needed a long-term fix in goal and free agency was crazy, because you did not want to put a ceiling on this kid. He's legit.
Yeah, they weren't paying attention. He's steadily improved, and I think played very well in maybe not an easy environment the last few years. Okay, what do the Oilers do? You talked about the goalie carousel that's existed with, you know, Crawford retires, and now New Jersey's claiming guys, and then the Leafs are trying to hide Dell from getting claimed, but then they eventually do put him on, and now Edmonton's missing Smith. What's the next stop? Because it does feel like Edmonton's not quite happy with what they've got. They need someone to eat some minutes from Mikko Koskinen, and it was good last night, but again, a 324 GAA and a save percentage barely over 900, that's not what they need for the playoffs.
They just got to get through this stretch, and it'll be interesting to see Smith's out. They put him on LTIR, so that's minimum 24 days from when they did it. So they're going to be missing him for a while. They got Troy Grosnick. Like this, the merry-go-round was crazy, right? And it wasn't just about Crawford leaving the Devils and them having a need and claiming Comrie. It started with, you know, Carolina claiming Anton Forsberg essentially as an insurance policy because they expected to lose Alex Nedeljkovic, AHL goalie of the year and Calder Cup winner just a couple of years ago when they put him on waivers. So they claim Forsberg. He stays in Edmonton in a holding pattern because they didn't want him across the border unless they needed him. Nedeljkovic goes down and doesn't get claimed. And, you know, you could make an argument there that if you're the Oilers and Ken Holland, you should have maybe made that claim then, but they were worried about the 2-week quarantine. So Carolina just dumps Forsberg. Well, now Winnipeg has a need because of the timing. And Jersey can't afford to wait on Arendelle, which I think a lot of teams were. So Winnipeg claims Forsberg because they know he hasn't crossed the border and he's still in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And now Edmonton goes and gets Troy Grosnick because Smith gets hurt. Now he's got to cross the border, and he's basically till the 28th he's out. Things were so up in the air that Troy Grosnick got in his car and drove from California to Edmonton, right?
Crazy.
He was eager. This is a great opportunity for him. He's keen. He gets up near Montana. He's thinking, I'm going to be there a day early. Phone rings. Troy, we need you to, slow down. Maybe drop the car. Maybe find a spot. Somewhere in Montana. Stay the night. We don't want you to cross the border tonight. We just claimed Arendelle. If we get him tomorrow, we're going to put you back on waivers and you can end up going with the Kings. And this is credit to them. They didn't make him cross the border. If he gets picked up by L.A., they don't want an extra quarantine the other way. They wanted to be able to get in his car and drive right back to L.A. That's the type of craziness we have right now. Jersey gets Dell. Grosnick, they tell him to cross the border. So now he's up in Edmonton doing his quarantine. He'll be there when they get back. And listen, I'm not going to pretend that he is like going to come out of nowhere at age 31 and save their season and be like 5 years older Jordan Binnington. But Troy Grosnick can play. He's had a hell of a last couple of years in the American Hockey League. When the Kings signed him, Bill Ranford told me they believe he is ready for sure for an opportunity in the NHL. And I wouldn't be surprised. As bad as Edmonton could be defensively, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the most of it. Like, he's not just a no name, only two games in the NHL, and at the age 31, ignore him, guy. He can play. So I'm happy for him, and I'm hoping it goes well there. But on the flip side, who knows how long he's there? Because Jersey gets Dell. They could very, very well waive Eric Comrie. They haven't made up their minds there yet because it's thin behind him too, but they could waive Eric Comrie. Winnipeg could decide, well, even though it's a two-week quarantine, we wouldn't mind having Eric Comrie back. We've invested a lot in him. He's a draft pick. He knows it. We'll take Eric Comrie. Winnipeg says, okay, so what happens then? Well, Forsberg goes back on waivers. Edmonton says, well, hey, will we sign the guy? I know their goalie coach likes the guy. Let's take him back. He's already in Canada, no quarantine.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Troy Grosnick, what happens to him? He ends up going back to L.A. Like, at some level, I understand this is, for Troy Grosnick, this is waivers working the way it's supposed to work. He gets an NHL opportunity. But it's hard not to look at this and all of this travel and border crossing in the middle of a pandemic and say, maybe, just maybe, we should have thought about adding a third goalie exemption on waivers to the taxi squad, because this is a little bit nuts.
Totally. So that, what you just walked us through is no one could have conceived, although if you probably went and played the, you know, little game theory ahead of time, yeah, these situations are going to arise. And you're right. If you could put a guy on a taxi squad without waivers, none of this happens. So, weird. Thanks for the chat. Always appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Perfect. Thanks, Ryan.
Kevin Woodley in Goal Magazine, our Thursday regular here on the Nine. All kinds of goaltending insights and good stuff on the Canucks there, which I think is timely given the start they've had. They started the season with four games in Alberta, finally get home and rallied late, like 3:09 left. They respond bang, bang after a 5-4 Toffoli goal to put the Habs ahead, tie it, and then win it. That's we talked about it being a big win for Edmonton last night in Toronto. It feels that way for Vancouver against Montreal as well. They're back at it tonight. Allen and Demko, your likely starters. A reminder, many of our guests join us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline for takeout and delivery. When you're tired of cooking, call 403-248-3344. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. We take a break. We come back. The Pinder Report, Scott Rintoul, lots ahead. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Back to the Nine with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Jay, want to bring you in. Apparently our buddies Pup the Band have a little NPR rock show online. Remember we were geeking out on the Mac Miller NPR live one? We got to dive into this, see what this looks like, huh? Cool.
With the playing at the little desk, that one?
The tiny desk, yeah. Home concerts, love it. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the whole line of the tiny desk concerts, but I think I understand the premise. I'm going to lean on you. You're my music guy.
Mac Miller one's good.
Really good. Yeah. Amazing. Because you hear his music, but to see him in his music is, I think, a better... Wow, you really start to understand the human, yeah. And those lyrics hit a little harder watching him. Huh?
Very intimate.
Well, there it is, yeah. Indeed. Remember we get our buddy Steve Slatkowski back on.
Good boy.
Talk baseball. Will the Raptors get above 500?
Jay's guy, too. Jay's talk Jay's with Steve.
That's right. He'll be happy today. George Springer. We'll see what they do to augment the roster. It looks like position player wise, they could arrive at spring training with this lineup and this infield, outfield construction and defense and be fine. I think they want to improve their D a little more. So maybe it's like a bench infielder that they could add. But they also, you know, if they're just okay defensively, they're going to be dynamic offensively. Clearly, they have to add arms. The bullpen's been a focus of late. And now you wonder, starting rotation. Can they supplement the top end of that rotation? Ryu's good. Pearson's going to be great, but he's very young. His innings have been very small totals year over year. You can't just expect every 5 days he's going to give you six innings. That workload's not going to fly. So who's going to help out the top of that rotation? Is it Trevor Bauer? Do you have that kind of money? What does Trevor Bauer cost? Is Trevor Bauer $120 million over 4 years? Is it more than that? Would you go 60 over 2 years? Is that leaving money on the table? You won the Cy Young. This guy is like the... We just heard from Kevin Woodley and the goaltending nerding out. He's that for baseball. He is the mad scientist of pitching. He's the guy that goes in his off seasons and works on pitches over a Rapsodo machine and looks at release points on his fingers, where the ball is, different grips, films it all, gets spin rate data, and he's basically in the lab trying to create pitches. He's been open to one-year deals, but I don't think that coming off of Cy Young, you want to do that. You maximize your career earnings. That's the job of the agent. That's what you're trying to do. What might have been a one-year deal might be three or four now. And he's a bit of a Richard, I think I've been told. So you're worried about that guy in the room? We'll see. Brantley sounded like it was close. Didn't happen yesterday. He goes back to Houston. 2 years, $32 million. Should tell you this. The text line alive and well, 960-960 for SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting with pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, and Caldera hot tubs, and more. Oh, I could use a hot tub right now, Jay. Jay, you want a hot tub?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love SML Entertainment. Love those Beachcomber and Caldera hot tubs. You want the Beachcomber or the Caldera? Test drive a few of these?
Either are. Either are.
You're flexible, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Visit smlentertainment.com for more information. To the text line we go. Some thoughts. Woodley's just great. Like, here's a text. Guys, today was the first time I ever heard Kevin Whitley. He's awesome. Well, no, he's not. Kevin Woodley's awesome. I ran into Kev in Abbotsford. He's based out of Vancouver, as you'd imagine, writing on NHL.com for the Canucks and In Goal Magazine. That's his baby. He would always be out in Abbotsford. We'd have weekend home sets where teams would come through, and he'd check in with all the up-and-coming goaltending prospects, goaltending coaches, and get some FaceTime with the organizations. He knows almost every goalie guy in the league. It's crazy. It's a small little community of guys that can speak a language many of us can't. But Kevin's ability to relay that into layman's terms has always been fascinating, because goaltending, we just don't get it. And with guys like Kevin, it feels much more digestible, rather than just being like, oh, I think that was a bad goal, but I'm not really sure. Or, yeah, he was great last night. But to really get into the technicalities of the position that's changed so much in the last 15 years, I mean, go look at the guys in the early 90s and the way they played the position. Like, could it be more different than now? Go look at the size of the goalies in the 80s and the type of athlete playing the position now. It looks like a different sport. So super pumped we have Woodley Thursdays. And, yeah, if you haven't heard him before, that's our Thursday regular 9:05. Going to be good. Those hot tubs going to keep you relaxed and flexible. I need that. I need a little stress release. I need some more flexibility. I think the hot tubs would be a real detriment to FM Old, Jay, which would be a good thing. Let's get on those. 9:38, we come back with the Pinder Report. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Lots of reaction to that wild game last night in Vancouver. Habs Canucks will do it again tonight. Rintoul will, I imagine, lead with that for the Flames. It's more the waiting game, as Sunday at 2, they will face, it's going to ruin all the football watching, but they will face the Toronto Maple Leafs in Calgary. First of 2, they'll play Tuesday night as well before they finally hit the road, although I guess they did start the road in Winnipeg. Reminder, all of our broadcasts do come to you from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls in downtown Calgary. Fourth year partnering with Iconic Electric and Controls, proudly owned and operated in Western Canada since 2008. Community, it's Iconic. Follow them on Twitter at IconicEC. Here's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Lots to get to. 5 games in the NHL last night. 2 all-Canadian matchups. Raptors looking to extend their win streak to 4. LFG! And, of course, waiting on some injury news on a Flames forward, which is where we start in the Pinder Report.
Took a licking and kept on ticking.
Yeah, that's right, Dylan Dubé. Not much clarity yesterday from Coach Ward.
What's the latest, or what can you tell us about Dylan Dubé?
Day-to-day. There's nothing there that we feel is serious.
Do you expect him to miss games, or do you think he might be an option this weekend?
Well, we got a long way to that game, so right now he's an option. But we'll see as the week progresses.
Boy, those are exciting Zoom calls, hey? Just scintillating.
God, you think
well,
so?
I mean, if you can't book yourself in on last minute to the dentist, you could always jump on those Zoom calls.
Can I get in there? Like, can we do this? Do we have access?
So do you think he'll be an option?
Might play, or,
do you expect him to...
Any games?
I think maybe I'll get him.
Where's Jake Voracek? Who needs to spice these things up, huh? Huh?
Yeah, where is Jay?
I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny.
See, that's the Zoom call we need.
That's next right. question.
Huh? Next question. Lower body.
So it doesn't matter what you say.
That's what we need.
I feel like Marty was maybe even a little more open and specific with us yesterday on the Dubé injury.
Yeah.
LOL.
Yeah.
Still 3 days until their next game, Dean. Sunday afternoon against Toronto.
WTF. Flames fans.
Yeah, exactly. Flames fans hoping Dubé can BRB by then. Speaking of the Leafs, they were in action last night as we get to the rest of the NHL slate.
Down low, centering pass for Nugent Hopkins. Shot scores from the left wing side. Leon Draisaitl got a bit of a break as the shot went off a skate.
Yeah, well, he's owed a break. He's goalless to start the season. There's his first. And, you know, hey, we'll see,
it's
Rhett.
Perfect for cold nights filled with warm conversation.
And warm conversation. We'll see. Huh?
Draisaitl? Let's see.
One goal. We'll see. Mm-hmm. TTYL. Joe Thornton out. He's going to miss some time. Oh, no. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Ribs.
Real rib tickler. That's...
Ribs.
I wonder if he's in Drew Brees category. More on him in a moment. Whew. Punctured lung, 11 ribs. Eesh. Oilers win 3-1. Big one. Let's go to St. Louis. They needed a shootout between the Blues and Sharks.
Yeah, now true. Hurdle as we come to the end of round four here. And the Sharks win in St. Louis.
I just love it, the way that play-by-play broadcasters can paint a picture. You're not there, and just with their words, you can see Hurdle coming in. One more
come
time.
Come to the end of round four here.
Wow.
Yeah, you could just... Whoa.
Dude, let it breathe.
I got a lot to say here.
Yeah, you really got a sense for the move.
It is radio, right? Like, people can't see it.
No,
it's theater of the mind, guys. Theater of the mind, the most powerful medium.
Coming to the end of round four here.
Uh-huh. What is it we're paying you for?
Scores.
Scores. I didn't really, it didn't hit me until you. Yeah. Is there any way they're simulcasting a TV?
I don't know that people on TV would be bothered if you said went to the forehand or coming in on the deke or winds up with a clapper. Like, give us something.
Come to Rips. The end of round four here.
Let it finish. Let it
what
finish.
What did you say? I'm you do here.
2-1. Sharks beat the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Off we go to Orange County. The Wild have been on a big California swing to start the year, and I think Joel Eriksson-Ek likes that.
Kaprizov back to Greenway. Got it in front, and Eriksson-Ek rips it home.
Kirill Kaprizov just ruining our Tuesday night in Minnesota jokes that have been so good for so long. He's fun. Minnesota wins 3-2. We got a helper on that game-winning goal. Vancouver, the late one. What a wild one indeed. It looked like the Habs had a late winner in regulation, but no. Besser would tie the game with his second, and off we go to extra time.
Dangling in, shoot scores.
See, dangling in.
Two goals in the game and a goal in the shootout. What a great game for the captain.
Yeah, what a great game, dangling in. At least we can try to imagine what the player did between the faceoff dot and a goal, huh?
Yeah,
one's better than the other. Horvat, the shootout winner to go with, well, I call the shootout winners SOGWGs, right? Pair in regulation and helper as well. Toffoli, the first ever hat trick for a former Canuck in his first game back to the
Schwags.
Canucks. OMG. Arizona, they fall in Vegas 5-2.
Time. Steaming down the wing. Has a step.
One, two, three for Tuck. Pick him up! And yes, the Capitals fined $100,000 for violating COVID protocols. Kuznetsov, Ovi, Samsonov, and Orlov all gathering in the same hotel room. I'm sure Don Cherry would have nothing to say about this at all and would not have even noticed anything those four players share in common. Tonight, 5 o'clock slate, Flyers and Bruins.
This team plays with a lot of heart.
Both teams play with heart because, you know, Philly's got the goalie. Devils and Islanders.
For the Devils! The
Jets. Devils! Yeah, we get it, buddy. The Jets and Senators, their second of a two-game set.
I'm in Ottawa. How are you doing?
Shooting for the Stanley Cup.
Love
no
it.
Less.
Yeah. Tampa, Columbus.
Ball's as big as the building.
7:30, Montreal and Vancouver again. That's Josh Anderson, really impressed how quickly he's immersed himself in the language. Certainly frustrated about that shootout loss. 8 o'clock, Colorado against Los Angeles. That's on Sportsnet West. And Florida, Carolina, Rhett, PPD.
Not the day.
Good. I love the PPDs.
Yeah, there you go. Major League Baseball. Things in Jays land. Whew, a little crazy. Last 2 days, pretty emphatic 180. They've lost the offseason to sign everyone. It's wild swings, and it nearly got wilder. Many Jays fans weren't asking what was next after George Springer, after that six-year, $150 million deal. But the bigger and more important question, how many hours of sustained excitement before you're supposed to see a doctor? I believe the answer is 4. And we nearly flooded the healthcare system as just hours after the George Springer deal yesterday morning, hours after our show, it appeared his BFF rat, Michael Brantley, was in agreement with the club on a 3-year deal. Luckily for all of us in a strained healthcare system, that was not the case. He returns to Houston, the 34-year-old, getting $32 million over the next 2 years. Jay Happ, 1-year deal with the Twins, $8 million. Jose Quintana, 1 year, $8 million. He goes to the Angels. Happ to the Twins. And apparently, a lot of interest and attention focusing on the top remaining starter, Trevor Bauer, and reliever Brad Hand, both tied to the Jays, because are you really a free agent if you're not tied to the Jays, right? Like, how would you feel if you're a free agent and the Jays aren't in on you? I mean, geez, like.
Because we're in on everybody.
Maybe it's done. Maybe it's time to hang up the cleats here.
Have we? Hey, agent, have we heard from Shapiro or Atkins? Because I heard they're in on everybody.
I think Phil Rivers, when the Jays didn't call, knew it was time.
Yeah, they had to tell. So, listen, Mark, he's retired. Dadgummit.
Dadgummit coming up. Hang on. NFL news, we can tell you a little bit. Mahomes did take part in practice yesterday for the Chiefs, but still in the protocol. He's on track to play this weekend. That was what we expected yesterday morning at this time, so nothing huge there. And in the NFC Championship game, well, not a team that's there, but one that nearly was. If the Bucs felt like Drew Brees was off last weekend, there's all kinds of reasons why. His wife wrote an open letter to him on Instagram and stated this. He played the entire season with a torn rotator cuff. We all know about the 11 broken ribs and punctured lung he suffered that cost him time mid-season, and he had torn fascia in his foot. Oh, and speaking of old guys and maybe time to hang it up, Phil Rivers actually took Drew Brees' job in San Diego. I don't know how many non-Chargers fans remember that. He's retired 17 seasons, the Chargers' all-time leader in wins, passing yards, touchdowns. He started 240 straight games and famously played with a torn ACL in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, when if all Marlon McCree did was drop to a knee, they would have won, but instead tried to return a pick, and the Patriots got it back and they won. Sit down, Marlon. Anyway, don't remember that game very well. Fifth in league history with 63,000 passing yards and 421 touchdowns. That's a lot. But all that and zero cuss words.
Dang it.
Dang it. Dang it. Golly. Shit. Crap.
That's the only ball thrown tonight worth the crap.
Dadgummit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't swear.
Does not curse.
Golly.
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit. I mean, it's real.
That's who he is. It's amazing.
It feels like that would be like a Simpson
shoot,
character,
shoot.
Right? Like
yes.
some guy that doesn't swear be out of a cartoon or something. No, that's Phil.
And it took too long for people to realize this. Everyone's like, this guy is just a total loser. Look at him yelling and yipping, and there's memes of his face on the sideline, and he's such a whiner. And it took us like 15 years into his 17-year career to realize, like, this guy's like the biggest Southern beauty of all time, and he can't swear and has 9 kids.
I was going to say, and if there's a guy that has the right to just curse a blue streak, it'd be that guy when he's got 9 kids.
He's got 18 sets of ears he can't be influencing. That's why he doesn't swear. Right?
For me, it'd be mixing in words that weren't swears or curse words. If you could just clean it up a little bit, that'd be great.
Phil saying crap in here feels edgy.
Dang it. Dang it. Golly. Shoot. Crap.
What? That's the only ball thrown tonight worth the crap.
Dadgummit.
Like it crap, is. That's a
crap
heavy
feels
one.
Like a lot.
That's a four-letter word right there.
He's out of 10.
Whew. And I love the drawl on the golly.
Golly.
Is that Roscoe out of Dukes of Hazzard or something?
Dadgummit.
Dang it.
Dadgummit.
How is this guy not like a cult hero? Instead, every NFL fan hates this guy. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone now.
You were one of them when he was your quarterback.
Oh, we had some good times, but again, it's that AFC Championship game against the Patriots. That was your year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Stupid Marlon McCree. Okay, NBA time. Let's go. Raptors winning streak's over, Rhett. Three games, that's it. They lose to the Heat, I believe 111-102, if not. That sounds close. Van Vliet, 24 in the
that's
loss.
Not enough.
And the question remains, Rhett, are you off the wagon again?
I think so. It was a...
You were on for
it
one
was
game.
Very fickle yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was more to support the Jays than the whole Toronto the North thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
They're
now 5-9. They'll play the Heat again tomorrow. If they win, maybe you get back on?
They're not going to beat the Heat. The Heat's going to pump them, so don't worry about that.
Kyrie Irving returned to the Nets, but Brooklyn fell in double overtime to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. The enigmatic guard dropped 37 points. Durant had 38, and Harden added 21. The first time the three-headed monsters operated together on the floor. Wizards have their sixth straight game canceled due to COVID. That's not good. They were set to play the Bucks tomorrow. Six in a row. Who wiped off the skid? And in that COVID news, in the last week, 502 NBA players, 11 have tested positive. They're announcing their testing results weekly, just as the NHL is as well. Finally, the PGA Tour, the American Express, is about to start this morning. Normally a pro-am, played on three courses in La Quinta, California. The cut would be after three rounds, but no, not this year. No amateurs, no pro-am, just two courses, cut after 36 holes, not 54. And yeah, to La Quinta, California, where two very famous things happened. My wife tells me The Bachelor was filmed there, and I remember you guys got hammered on tequila and sang old country and western songs together maybe 5 years ago.
Really?
I'm drunk right now.
Is that not the case?
I remember drinking in the country music for sure, yeah.
Was it La Quinta? Was it not La Quinta?
No, Palm that Springs? Was Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's where La Quinta is, yeah.
Which is in La Quinta, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Palm
Springs. So
was it tequila,
old
though? I didn't think it was tequila. I thought
it was a big bottle of the Sailor. I thought that was some Sailor Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sorry, I painted the wrong picture here.
That was that was an interesting night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to know. Patrick Cantlay, your favorite, John Rahm, is withdrawn, and there are five Canadians in the field: Adam Hadwin, Roger Sloan, Michael Gligich, and David Hearn, Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor, 110-1. $1 down on him. Let's go, buddy. It's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.